Hi, it's Susan Harrow here with Lisa Daly, and Lisa is a TV personality, an award-winning copywriter and publicity guru. She's taught me a lot of what I know, columnist and best-selling author of her first book is Stop Getting Dumped, and her new book is called 15 Minutes of Shame. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit about her book in relation to publicity, because Lisa's got tons of experience. She's a veteran of more than 2,500 interviews. That, Lisa, that is a lot of interviews. That is a lot of interviews. I mean, some people, you know, 10, 50, 100. She's also been seen everywhere from Entertainment Tonight. And if you've seen the movie Hitch, she's also on the DVD. She's on the DVD starring Will Smith. She's also been in USA Today, Cosmopolitan, The New York Times. So for more information on Lisa, and particularly if people have a product that for your TV show, it would be appropriate to go there too?
Absolutely.
LisaDaly.com. And maybe just tell people what kind of products that you're looking for or shows you're looking for. They need to be in Florida, in Tampa.
I'm on Daytime, which is a syndicated morning television show, and I actually cover relationships. I cover a lot of relationships books, and actually most times I cover books when we don't have the author there. Sometimes if the author's coming through town, we'll have them on the show. But, you know, Tampa's a little bit out of the way, and so a lot of times I'll, you know, just discuss a book on the show. Dating products, things that are, I do a roundup every year of great holiday gifts or great Valentine's Day gifts for your significant other. So there are so many, I mean, any angle as it relates to love or relationships or single life. I mean, I'm really open to everything. And of
course,
I write a column as well. And so a lot of, and that is geared more to singles, but a lot of the things that are not necessarily appropriate for the show work for the column and vice versa.
Oh, that's super. So Lisa Daly, DAILY.com. And since she's had so much experience in TV and she just did a book tour all over the country, and in fact, her book, The 15 Minutes of Shame, was just optioned as a movie, too. So a big congratulations for that. Yeah, that is super.
Thank
I mean,
you.
That's, you know, every author's dream, too. So this is not just about books. It's about how to publicize yourself when you're either at home on the radio or in TV when you're on a tour. So the first thing that you say, Lisa, is it's not about you. Now, most of us think it is about us, and we want it to be about us. But why
and
isn't it?
And we really do want it to be about us. But unless you're a celebrity, it's not going to be about you. And they're really the only ones who can sort of get away with talking about nothing just because they're them. We have to pitch great stories and great segment ideas and great radio segments. We can't say, I have a book. If you send me a press release that says, new dog book out or new such and such book out, it goes right in the trash. And the reason is because you haven't helped me. I have a huge stack of paper on my desk every day and hundreds of emails coming into my inbox. And so what I really need, the things that really stand out for me and for producers and for editors, is you have to give me a great angle. And you might have the most fabulous book or product or, you know, dog walking service on the planet, but if you run around talking about yourself, no editor, no producer is going to listen. If you want media attention, you have to position whatever you are trying to promote as part of a larger story. And I'll give you a good example of that. I did a 22-city book tour for 15 Minutes of Shame, and when we were initially beginning to pitch the television stations, they were really reluctant to book me, even though I have been on national television multiple times. I do a television show here every week, and I'm a really strong television guest. But the reason that these producers were really hesitant to book me on this particular tour is that they generally don't cover novels. And what we had to keep telling them over and over again is it's not about the novel. And so we would pitch a segment, and I did dozens of segments related to this, But the book, 15 Minutes of Shame, is about a TV relationship expert who finds out that her husband is cheating on national television. Well, that is, you know, sort of a big problem that most of us are not going to have. But one thing that a lot of people can really relate to, a lot of viewers can really relate to, is wondering whether or not your husband might be cheating. And so because I am a dating expert, I went on television in a lot of different markets and gave tips on 7 signs your husband might be fooling around. And so they were able to work the book into the segment. They always do that. That's sort of the quid pro quo of how television works. But what I gave them, the reason that they booked me, is I gave them a great segment that their viewers were going to be interested in.
And yeah, I think that's the
book
that's
stuff
really
comes back later.
Yeah, that's really excellent advice, because I did see you on our local market here in View by the Bay, and it wasn't necessarily focused on the book. It was focused on, you know, I think you gave some of those, not just cheating tips, I think you gave some other relationship tips on how to attract a great relationship. And they worked both of your books in, both of them.
Right. Which is great, because you get the same lovely screenshot at the end if you, as long as you give them a good segment. And the fantastic thing about that is View from the Bay asked me to come back. And so the next time I'm in San Francisco, I'll be sure to do the show again. But what happens, what's really important to remember, is that I didn't make it about the book, and I didn't make it about me. I made it about the segment that I could provide for the viewers. And there was another author there. And again, this is a show that does not book novelists on a regular basis. But there was another novelist on the show that day. Her name is Jane Porter, and she had written a book called Mrs. Perfect. And it's about this sort of suburban angst and married life in an affluent suburb. And she went on and did a great segment about how competitive the suburbs are, and about how moms feel, you know, the need to compete with each other and sort of one-up each other. And this is something that she talks about all over the country and has done so, and she goes on the show as a nonfiction expert on this sort of mommy angst. And it worked out great. And she got the same thing. She got 2 lovely segments. She got the book up. It was fantastic for her.
That sounds
and it
great.
Works for things that thanks. And it works for things other than novels.
Well, it was a really lively segment, and I remember, you know, I watched it, and actually viewers can go to View from the Bay and actually watch it too if they want to see exactly how you did this, because it's an important point, and it's not just about books. It doesn't matter what your subject topic is. It's about finding what's important to the viewer and really
right.
focusing on that, and knowing that the producers are going to plug your product or your book or your service or your cause, because that they know that that's what you're there for, and to
exactly.
trust that. The other thing is
right.
you did a fantastic job, Lisa, because you were so relaxed and you were so comfortable with your material, partly because you've done so many other interviews and you were really well prepared to talk about any angle, which is really important as well, to be flexible in that way.
Well, and, you know, there's one thing that I learned on a basis, and that is I used to sort of, you know, I'd send the press release to the producer or the pitch to the producer, and then they would come up with the questions, and I would get to the show and would have to sort of answer any questions that they gave me on the fly. Well, it's a lot easier to be funny and succinct and charming if you know what they're going to say ahead of time. And the best way to do that is to provide the questions to the producer or the editor. And sometimes they'll throw in some of their own. Sometimes they'll use all of yours. But you have to remember that television producers in particular, and radio producers as well, especially if they have a daily show that they're producing, they are really, really overworked. And so the best thing that you can do is make their life easier. And the more information you can provide, the better. And one of the nicest things you can do is provide the talking points of the segment, because you're making their job easier, but you're also making yourself a better guest, because you know what they're going to say, and you can come up with some funny little quip or a great little story and really make it a fantastic segment. So it really works out best for everyone. And the producer loves you because you've basically, you know, done 75% of their job.
Well, they love that. And I remember your dear friend and mine, Lisa Earle McLeod came up with the brilliant idea of writing both parts to talk about not just writing the questions, but writing what the hosts would say, too. And you really have to know the host's style to do that. I mean, you can't just go ahead and do that if you're putting words in their mouth that they would never say. But she did it for a couple of shows that really had the flavor and the style of the hosts. And so, wow, all the work is done that way. And they just need, and they can ad lib and go on as they want. So that's a very, very high level. But as you, your number two tip is to pitch segments and stories and not products. And I think that falls into this category. Most people, you know, you can say that to people, but they don't really understand what you mean by that. They're still going to send in their regular press release, which they actually shouldn't, to a TV show.
Right.
So how do you pitch a segment in a story instead of saying, you know, here's a great product and I want to talk about this?
Well, if you think about what you hear when you're watching the Oprah show or when you're watching your 5 o'clock news, you say, up next, you know, is your dog eating drive-through food? Or up next, you know, 7 signs your water cooler may be killing you. Or up next this or up next that. Think about the kinds of things that you hear. You have these tight little segments. You've maybe got 4 signs of this or 5 signs of this or some interesting breaking news. And that's really the best way to sort of learn what a segment idea or a story idea is. If you pitch me, you know, woman invents natural dog food, that's not really that exciting. But if you're talking about, is your dog eating the equivalent of McDonald's every day? Well, I want to know the answer to that. And my viewers want to know the answer to that. Is regular dog food like feeding your dog food, you know, your dog junk food? Is there some reason why they need all natural dog food? There's a story there. Or you can talk about how there's a doggy obesity problem. I mean, there are a million different ways.
That's really funny. Yeah, I remember going into the pet store and getting into, oh, no, it was my regular grocery store because my cat seemed to love this particular kind of cat food, and I brought it into the specialist to the pet store, and they go, that is like giving your cat a bag of potato chips. And I said, no way. He said, that is the worst junk. And I go, well, they love it. He goes, it's got sugar, it's got salt, it's going to give them high blood pressure. So
they love it.
Yeah, of course they love it. Who wouldn't?
Right. So right there, you have a segment that you are already relating to, and it's possible that your producer has a dog or they know somebody who has a dog. There was a woman that I worked with to construct some pitches several years ago, and she had written a book on twins, and twins are a fairly small market. Parents of twins, there aren't that many twins born every year. It's a very small niche, and most of the shows were not particularly interested in covering a baby care book for twins. But what we did is a lot of people, and I know a lot of women who sort of fantasize about this, is that a lot of women would say, God, I'd love to have 2 kids. I'd love to just have twins and get it over with all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought about the people that I knew, and that was probably more common when I was younger, but I thought about all the people I knew who said, oh, I'd love to have twins, or oh, you're so lucky to have twins. And I thought there are probably a number of people. And so I did a lot of research about the causes of twins and what other than fertility drugs would make you have a higher incidence of twins. And it turns out there are certain times of year, if you sleep together at certain times of year, you're more likely to have twins. Or if you eat a lot of yams, you're more likely.
Oh, really?
Right. And so that little factoid about, is your Thanksgiving dinner increasing your likelihood of having twins? That's the kind of hook, that's the kind of angle that makes producers think, oh, my gosh, I want to know the answer to that question. And if they want to know the answer to that question, they think their viewers are going to want to know the answer to that
question.
Now,
what you've done, though, is take the smallest kind of denominator and turn that into the headline. Most people go for the really big and broad, and what you've done is brought it down to the so specific to bring it to somebody's Thanksgiving dinner and to bring it down to yams. I think
right.
It's kind of counterintuitive, but that's exactly what people should be doing, and that's exactly what you recommend in terms of your email subject line should read like a compelling TV or radio teaser or a newspaper headline or a magazine headline. That's the kind
exactly.
of thing that you that you're advocating.
Exactly right. Well, and the other thing that that people do is that they'll send a pitch and then they'll just bury me in facts. And I get so many emails, all the producers do, and I know that a lot of producers get far more email than I do. So they'll send this compelling headline, and then they'll just bury me in a three-page email. And the best possible pitches, the quickest way to get booked is to send a pitch with a snappy subject line or a snappy headline and maybe a paragraph with a few little supporting facts that kind of explain the headline or back it up in some way, and then a short paragraph about why you're qualified to talk about it or how it relates to your book or product or whatever. And that's it. And then your contact information, and that's it. We don't need 15 pages of research. If we do need 15 pages of research, we will ask you for it. But to try and ask a producer who's really time-crunched or a writer who's on deadline to wade through all that information, well, that's just not it's just not something that's realistic, and it's not going to be your most effective way.
Right, and I think that people want to make sure that they cover all the bases, and they're afraid that if they don't give you all the information, then you're not going to be interested. But actually the opposite is true, and you say
right.
that there are a couple of things to make the writer's or producer's life easier, not harder, in presenting your information.
Right.
Can you tell us what those are? So the things that are absolutely necessary that you want to see and that you know that other writers and producers want to see on that one page information just to see if they're interested.
Which is going to be fairly short. You should use a few quotes that they can use right away. And this is actually very important if you're pitching a publication or a show because of a breaking news story. When the Elliot Spitzer case broke a few months ago, the governor of New York,
yeah.
he'd had the affair with the high-priced call girl. A lot of shows and newspapers were on deadline, and so if you could give them the information that they needed and they didn't even have to talk to you, they could just plop you right into the story, then you were going to get a lot of coverage that way. And so you want to include your pitch, you want to include some quotes that they can use right away, especially if you're talking about a print medium. That's not so important for broadcast, but for print, a lot of times I'm working at 3 o'clock in the morning, and if you sent me some quotes on the topic that I'm looking for, I can just yank those right out and stick them in my column, and then I'll tell you tomorrow, I'll email you in the middle of the night and say, hey, I just quoted you. So that's...
And you're not the only one who does that, by the way. I've gotten lots of emails in the middle of the night when I can't sleep from reporters and people like you who are working at the same hour. I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's 3 in the morning, and somebody's responding right back.
There's a whole world happening at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Totally.
A lot of writers are working at that time. And the thing is you want to make sure that you're giving the person some quotes that they can use, and also let them know how they can quote you. And basically you want a one-line thing, so-and-so is this kind of expert.
Can you tell us, you've gotten a lot of pitches, and can you give us an example of some of the really great ones that you've loved and you booked somebody right away on your show?
One woman who pitched me, it was a couple actually, who pitched me at an event, they were fascinating because they, and we haven't booked them yet, but we're going to, they pitched me about, and they're an environmental company, and they pitched me about all of the environmental hazards in your bedroom. And I thought that was really interesting because that was not necessarily their specialty, but it was something that they tailored for my show. And then another pitch that I got that was fascinating, and again, the book has just come out, and so we're gonna book her, and I'm actually doing a story about it as well, is a woman who wrote a dating book about what your date's shoes say about him.
Oh.
And so it was something that was so specific. If you were, I think the book is called Never Trust a Man Wearing Alligator Loafers, which is a fun title. And she had some great points, and she had some really helpful pictures. And, you know, and she could sort of do this kind of on-the-fly shoe analysis of the dates. And I thought that was a really interesting idea. And so, you know, those are two people that we booked right away.
And yeah,
they were really fantastic, fantastic pitches. And I'll tell you, there was a pitch that I wrote for Lisa Earl McLeod. Actually, I wrote it for her daughter, and it got her booked on the Today Show. And that was her daughter was participating in a finger painting, the world's largest finger painting. She was going for the Guinness World Record for the world's largest finger painting. And so we wrote a pitch about how it felt when you were 8 years old or 10 years old and you saw that book for the first time and you saw the guy with the curly fingernails and you wonder, you know, and you're going through the book trying to find the record you could break. And so what we did was invite producers to come down and be a part of this world-breaking finger painting. And it not only did the local media really relate to it and want to come down and sort of stick their fingers in the paint, but, you know, the Today Show ended up booking her for a segment to cover this particular event. And unfortunately, she ended up getting booted because J-Lo and what was his name? That she was engaged to before Mark Anthony. Ben
Stiller?
The movie star.
Ben
yes.
Stiller?
No, the other Ben. Now he's married anyway. He's married to Jennifer Garner.
I don't remember.
Ben Affleck. There we go. Ben Affleck. So they broke up, and so she ended up getting bumped from the show.
Oh,
and
what
of course
a bummer.
It was I know, the event had already been scheduled, and so there was no way that they could do that. But the Today Show did end up doing an entire series on Guinness World Records, and had it not been for Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, then she would have been on the Today
Darn,
Show.
Curse
as
the
well.
Stars when it comes to publicity.
I know, and you know that's the other thing you have to remember. Things happen. A lot of times you have breaking news, and so it depends on the kind of show. The magazine shows, this doesn't happen with as much, but if you're booked on a news show and you get bumped because there's a freeway collapse or a building collapse or J-Lo and Ben Affleck break up or, you know, Brad Pitt breaks up with whoever he's with, you can't get upset and get cranky with the producer. Yes, we know that you are distraught about this, yes, that we know you're disappointed that you're not going to be on the show. But if you are nice about it, we're going to feel bad, and we're going to really work hard to get you booked back on the show. If you're a jerk about it, you're not ever getting back on.
No, and that's really a key point, because it's always about doing well with a producer, because they're just doing their job, and it's really nothing personal.
Right, it really is.
They have to follow the news. And J-Lo is more important than your kid's finger painting contest.
Exactly. And it really is easy to get defensive. It's really annoyed. And not even just getting bumped. It's really easy to get your feelings hurt or to feel annoyed or rejected if your phone calls are not being answered or if your emails are not being answered. But you have to remember that they're not purposely shutting you out. It's that they're so inundated with information, and they're trying to do their jobs. And for people who produce a daily show, they literally are just working a day or two in advance, and they are just going through that information. And so if you don't get the call, it's okay to follow up later. If you hear back from them and they say, yes, I'd like more information about this, it's okay to follow up, you know, once or twice. If they don't respond in any way, it is absolutely fine to pitch them again later with something else, but don't send the same pitch over and over again.
Right, right.
We got it the first time. We just didn't, you know, we read the first three lines of it, and it wasn't a good fit, and so we moved on to the next one.
Well, that's super advice. Is there any last bit of advice you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, I have to say that the best thing that you can do when you're trying to get publicity is to really just be persistent, to be as nice and friendly as you possibly can be. Make sure that your pitching fits the show or the publication, because I can't tell you how much stuff I get that's not, you know, for electronics or stuff that's not a fit at all, and it just clogs up my inbox and irritates me. But it's really, really important to remember that there's so much information out there, and the best thing that you can do to get publicity is just be persistent. Just keep pitching and keep pitching, because eventually you're going to break through.
That's great, and I think people really need to hear that, because it can be very frustrating, and what is key is not to send the same thing over and over again, but to consistently find a different angle, a different way of presenting it to whatever's going on in the culture today, and to continually be thinking about what ideas, what new ideas, and what new, great, fascinating stuff you can tell people. And one of the things I want to mention, Lisa, because this is something that you do really, really, really well, and I don't think a lot of people do this, and that is research. You mentioned that earlier, and I know that when I've had you write some pitches, that you did a lot of research and found some very interesting statistics and ideas that you uncovered that were not necessarily obvious in order to create a pitch. And I think that is a great strength of yours, and I don't think very many people do it.
Thank you. No, it's funny because I think personally I'm just sort of a researcher by nature. But I will say that those little interesting factoids, those little nuggets, like the fact that yams increase your likelihood of having twins.
Yeah, who knew?
I know. And that one of the pitches that we'd done, you know, everybody knows about the, the connection between vaccines and autism. But there was some really interesting research, if I remember, it's been a long time since we did this client, but there was some really interesting research at the time about how to reach kids with autism, or how many there were. And the thing I remember that we did the pitch on was all of these children who are faced with autism are being integrated into the public school system. And so we, because the population of people with autistic children is so small, we needed to relate this in order to get mainstream media. We needed to relate it to the general population. Because people always, how does this have anything to do with me? And so instead of making about those poor people or those other parents, I made it about how this autistic child is affecting my child's education, and good ways that that happens and the bad ways that that happens. And that was a pitch that was interesting to not just producers, but to people in general.
And that was a pitch that got a lot of traction. So that got a lot of response for us and a lot of press for my clients. So that kind of detail where you're really broadening it, it's very, very specific, but you've reached a broad audience. That's the difference. There's very specific on one end of the spectrum with the very specific research and ideas and visuals and concreteness, and yet on the other end it touches a very big part of the population, so those people can say, I care.
Right. And that's the thing. You have to give people a reason to care. And the way that you do that is by figuring out what the benefit is for them to care, or how something negatively impacts people. Because that's the thing our world is so cluttered. It's very difficult to get people to care about things outside their own world. And so you need to bring your product or your service or your book or you into their world where it matters.
That's great. Well, it's 15 Minutes of Shame, and it's a fabulous read. I mean, she kept me up. That's one of the reasons why I was up at 3 in the morning. It was finishing your book. I wasn't necessarily working. I was reading your book. And also, if people want to pitch you, they should go to lisadaly.com and take the advice that Lisa's given you in terms of pitching you for an idea, product, a service, or a cause to your show.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you
Absolutely.
Wanted to add to that for anybody, any of our people who have a relationship-oriented product or
just
idea?
That relate. I get every relationship book that's published. Every publisher sends me the books. So just the fact that you have a book is not enough. You have to
and it
have
doesn't have to be just a book either, too, right? I mean, can they be an expert, or they can have like a product that helps singles or it helps in a relationship in some way.
Absolutely. I mean, I've certainly covered, and I'm more likely to do it in the column because it's easier, because I don't need to hold something up at the end. I can just direct people to a website. But absolutely, I have quoted and done stories about various experts and coaches and ad pitch. I had a guy who created something called the Johnny Light, which is a little green light you put in your toilet. And it's apparently supposed to, it lights up if the lid's up, and so it's supposed to let you know if the lid's been left up and so you won't fall in the toilet. And
in the middle of the night, as we want to do, yeah.
Right, and it's this eerie green light. So every year I do a Christmas roundup of fantastic gifts for your significant other, or for a guy you're just dating. And every year this guy, it's been like 6 years, the guy pitches me the Johnny Light. And I have told him in the nicest possible way, and he seems like a nice guy, but I've told him in the nicest possible way, this is not a gift for your significant other. This is not a nice gift for your significant other. Maybe it's a gift your significant other needs. But just buy it yourself and stuff it in the toilet. Don't wrap it up and put it in their Christmas stocking. And I said to him, this isn't really appropriate for my roundup. And I basically do the same roundup every year, just with different things over and over
again. And the same story, not varying.
The exact same story, even though I've passed. And in the beginning, it didn't, you know, the second time I thought it was an oversight. Now it just irritates me. I think every Christmas I'm getting a pitch from the Johnny Light guy. And that is not a good thing, because instead of even having a neutral feeling about the company, I now have a negative impression of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what you want.
And, yeah, now you want to just be flushing that down the toilet. And so
that's
not the feeling that you want to give.
No, well, you don't want people to flush your pitch. So there
exactly,
you go.
Exactly. So, Lisa Daly, thank you so much for being our guest today. And
thank you for having me.
And congratulations again on your movie and your book.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. This conference is no